The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
And I've been praying about this for some time and felt that it was maybe time to begin to broach this subject. So Bob Thurstrup is a dear friend of mine. I've been knowing him for, I don't know, maybe 10 years now. And we meet together virtually every week on Wednesday and study the Word of God together and laugh and cry. And every once in a while we get toe-to-toe on a theological issue. But I've got great respect for him. And those of you who don't know him, Bob is the owner and manager of the Slidell Athletic Club. And his credentials are sterling when it comes to health. But also he has sterling credentials when it comes to the Spirit. He knows God. He serves God. He's a no-nonsense guy. He believes in the grace of God without reservation. He doesn't want to add anything to it or take anything away from it. He knows of Jesus and he knows the Word of God. And I talked to Bob a couple of months ago about possibly coming to our church, and I thought that during the fast would be an appropriate time to address this subject. I asked him if he would come, and he said sure he would. And then a couple of weeks ago, I went to him and see if we could nail down a date, and he agreed that he would come today. And so he'll be speaking to us, and just listen to what he has to say. Don't resist. He'll tell you some things. He's going to rub your fur maybe a little the wrong way, like a cat gets rubbed occasionally. And but listen to what the Spirit of God has to say through this man, all right? So give him a warm New Beginnings Church welcome. And Bob, come up here. And the place is yours, as they say, all right?
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, man. Make yourself
Thank you. Not used to all these fancy things here, so hopefully that's on. I have been very blessed just being here with you all for the past 45 minutes or so. And just wanted to let you know that I'm very, very honored by Brother Morris asking me to come do this. I'm humbled. I'm honored. He's a great brother, a great friend. And we've been going to Bible study together for about the past 12 years. And Morris is always there edifying, lifting people up, crying with us, sharing with us. He's a leader with the group. And even before I came to talk here, he said, I want you just to be yourself. And, you know, that's very humbling, because especially from somebody that's known me for 12 years, to say, hey, just be yourself. You know, sometimes we get around our spouses and they say, yeah, you know, I like, you know, if you could just do this one other thing, you know, that'd be okay. Or, you know, friends, yeah, you're okay, but this one thing. But for somebody to just say, you know, come just be yourself, that's, but that's Morris. That's how he is. And I love you. You're a great brother. And, you know, back in 94, as I was really coming to an understanding of the love of God, you know, that's right around that time when I got to know Morris. And, praying with him and sharing with him and studying the Word. You know, he's just been a great brother and a great encourager. And one thing that I know is that he loves you, his congregation, you know, very, very much. You know, there's a lot of different groups out there and corporate church and big business church. And sometimes pastors get into almost a free agency kind of thing, going for where the bigger church is or the bigger dollars. And, you know, that's between them and the Lord. But it's great to see the fellowship here, and it's great to see Pastor Morris love you all the way he does. So I'm very honored to be here, and I thank him for that. Got the slides, and maybe we'll dim the lights a little bit here. The things that we're going to be talking about today, we're going to start off and talk a little bit about the sovereignty of God, the love of God, and the healing of God. And what we really want to focus on today, what I really wanted to focus on with the talk is the healing aspect of God. I think we kind of all get to know God early on from a sovereignty standpoint. My personal testimony, a little bit of it. I first got an understanding of the sovereignty of God when I was in second grade. And I was getting ready to play tackle football, you know, in Little League tackle football. And we had a lady that watched my brothers and I while my dad was at school and my mom was working. And I was chatting with this lady, and I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna play tackle football on Saturday." And she said, "Well, you better say, God willing, you'll do that." I said, "No, I'm gonna play tackle football whether God wants me to or not." Lesson number one for Bob back when I was around second grade. A couple days went by after I had told her that. And we had some beveled glass, a little skylight in the apartment that we lived in. And I noticed a little cobweb or something on that beveled glass. And I picked up a broom, went over to that beveled glass and brushed it a little bit. And a little sliver of glass, a one in a bazillion, hit me right in the eye. Didn't play tackle football that Saturday, and went to the doctor. Thankfully, I had no permanent damage. Had a patch on my eye for a little bit of time, but God healed me. So that was lesson number one for me. And I think the sovereignty of God, we all have to get to a point where we understand the sovereignty of God. And then we kind of move forward to understanding the love of God. And, you know, we've, most of us, I guess, here have had that time in our life where we understood the grace and mercy of God and we're able to see. And we knew that everything was going to be better. You know, it was going to be all right. And no matter what happened in this world, we knew that God loved us and He was going to take care of us and see us all the way through to the end. And so the love of God, that's just, you know, just an amazing, amazing thing. And a God who loves us, He wants to be here with us. Not only here while we're in church, but if we have a relationship with God, He's with us here. He's with us out there. He's with us on our jobs. He's with us when we drive our car. He's with us when we're with our family. He's with us when we're having a good day with our spouse. When we're arguing or maybe having a disagreement, He's still there. God loves us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And then we move on to the healing of God. And that's really what I want to focus on, you know, this morning. And, you know, people thinking, oh, a fitness guy's up there. He's going to tell me to get on a new diet or, you know, this program and stuff. You know, I don't want to do that. And, you know, I'm not really here to talk about weight or diet or anything like that. And, you know, we have some programs that we teach at the club, you know, some behavior modification programs. This is the first time that I've ever been able to address a group of believers like this. So it's been great to dig into the scriptures and incorporate some of the scriptures also with, you know, some of the things that I've learned over the past 20 years being in the fitness industry. So let's look at some scriptures. In Romans 6:17 through 19, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Formerly, though, you were slaves to sin. We are powerless on our own to defeat sin. Powerless. We cannot come up against it on our own. Many times we as Christians, we get together in our little holy huddles and we look at some unbelievers and we say, man, look, can you believe what that guy did? Can you believe what they did? Can you believe this? Can you believe what they drank? Can you believe they lost all that money at the casino? Can you believe they did these things? Well, as believers, we have a power that they don't have. And it's Jesus Christ. We have a refuge. We have a hope. We have a Savior, a caretaker, a shepherd. So apart from Him, yeah, we're going to be slaves to all kinds of things. All kinds of things. All kinds of things. But as believers, we have hope and we have a refuge. And I think it's, you know, many times we come to Christ and we use terms like, I was saved on this day. And then the danger is that the enemy talks us back into our own thoughts of self-sufficiency. Okay, you've got the fire insurance. You're not going to hell. You're all right. Now you go try to live life on your own now. You know, and we look at God almost as a genie in a bottle. Okay, God, this is what I want today. You know, this is what I need from you. But we're His slaves. And for me, this is one of my favorite verses because it gives me great peace to know that I'm a slave to God, a slave to righteousness. It's not up to me anymore. I don't need to try to come up with any good works to try to please God. He is going to do it for me and give me that. And let's go to the next slide. Romans 6:20-22. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. We have to die daily to self. Every single day. The Lord saved us. He is saving us. And He will save us. But it's a matter of His choices and His plan and His way for our life. Jesus said, take up your cross and come and follow me. That's a daily thing. And there are things that we may not want to do. Have you guys ever experienced that when God asks you to do something, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. Amen. I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to go do this with that person or talk to these people. And I don't want to do that. But it always works out better than anything we can come up with on our own. Anything. So it's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. Next slide. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What does any loving father want from his kids? Sounds like a good list. Mm-hmm. Right there, that's what I want for my girls. I have 3 girls. I don't want them fighting. I don't want them hurting each other. I certainly want to see them joyful and happy. I want them to be faithful. I want them to tell the truth. I want them to be gentle and have self-control. So as Christians, we've got this power to live this life. What gets in the way of our bearing fruit? What gets in the way of our bearing fruit? Woundedness. Woundedness. We're either in the flesh, if we're unbelievers, or as believers, we're warring against the flesh. We're warring against the flesh. The flesh wants to have its way. What tastes good, what sounds good, what looks good, what feels good. But as believers, we're now slaves to righteousness. We're slaves to God. We now war against the flesh. We resist the flesh and its evil desires because we know that God wants the best for us and He wants us to bear fruit because He loves us and He wants to have a relationship with us. So if we've got a God that loves us and He wants to have a relationship with us, what gets in the way? What's one of the things that gets in the way of our relationship with Him? Our woundedness. You ever try to pet a wounded animal? He'll try to pet a dog after he's been hit by a car. What'll that dog do? Man, he'll growl and try to bite your hand. He's wounded. The dog's wounded. The animal's wounded. God wants to heal us.
Yes.
His desire is to heal us. So we can be those gentle animals that come and lick the Father's face and hug Him and cuddle with Him and want to be, you know, spending that time with the Father. I want my kids, if they're sick, I want them to be healed. I want them to be healed. I want to have time that I spend with them because I love my kids. I want to be with them. I want to laugh with them. I don't like it when they're sick. I don't like when they're hurting. So I want them to bear fruit. God loves us. He wants us to bear fruit. We get caught up sometimes in the day-to-day spiritual checking off our to-do list. Well, I read my Bible for 15 minutes. I went to church on Sunday, and I was really good, so I went to church on Wednesday also. Not only did I give 10%, but I gave 20% this year. I think I'm all right with God. You know? What's the point? He loves us. He wants relationship with us, and He wants us to bear fruit. Because we're His children. He loves us. He cares for us. Next slide. We all still struggle with something. We all still struggle with something. So if food's not something you struggle with, don't think you can poke the person next to you and say, yeah, look at me, I'm better than you in some way. You know? We don't want to be self-righteous. We don't want to condemn someone else or look down. Every single person here that's still alive, that's a believer, is in the process of being healed on our walk back home to be with the Father. We're in the process of being healed. There's no one in here that God has healed completely to say, I no longer have to war against the flesh. Okay? One day, we won't have to. Right now, we do. But we do that in Christ's power. We go back to the truth of what He told us we actually have. We are His slaves to righteousness. He is going to pull it off for us. Some people, you know, we all have our own genetic sin DNA, so to speak. It may have been passed out from our environment, from our parents, whatever. We get bad habits, we get conditioning, we get certain things. Some people grew up, you know, with certain behavior patterns, and they do that because that's what their parents taught them. And the more we know God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and their love for us, perfect unity, the more we look to them for our guidance. And then we honor our parents. But we don't want to look back in the rearview mirror to everything that they do for our perfect guidance. We look forward to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to teach us the way that we need to live. So does God really care how I eat? Does God really care how I eat? Next slide. Does God really care about the choices that I make? Why would God care? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. Look at what's out there naturally that God made for us to eat. And then look at what we actually are eating. Let's go to the next slide. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. 3 John 1:2. Things that war against our good health. Okay. The world, our environment. McDonald's. Burger King, all these different things. What else? The devil and his demons. They war against us. And last, our flesh. We talked about that a little bit. Before we were believers in Christ, we were in the flesh. Now we war against the flesh in His power. In His power. Because the enemy wants to keep us from the thing that God wants. The enemy does not want us to bear fruit. Do you think He wants you to be joyful? Uh-uh. He wants to take it from you. Amen. You think He wants you to have self-control? Mm-mm. What's good for you? What tastes good? What feels good? What sounds good? It's no big deal. Just once or twice. Go ahead. The enemy wants to keep us from bearing fruit. Next slide. You can go all the way through. So let's look at our environment for a second. I was actually at a fitness conference, and there was a professor from Yale, and he was talking about Frito-Lay. And he did a lot of research on, you know, obesity and those kind of things, and he said that Frito-Lay, they actually have labs on the East Coast where they've figured out the crunch per square inch that's going to get us the greatest sensation on their chips and crackers to most likely get us to compulsively eat their product. And the salts and the sugars and the MSG, they've figured these things out to try to get us to compulsively eat their stuff. You can't stop with just one. Remember? You can't finish, you know, can't eat just one. Can't just finish up the bag. Finish up the bag. Fast food now. Everything is biggie sized. You know? Biggie size it. Yeah, you don't want small portions. Why do you want small portions? You gotta get your money's worth. You go over to Krispy Kreme donuts. And I did this with my kids, you know, a year or two back, and we were on the way to Florida, I believe. I'm not sure of that, but, you know, went in there to pick out 2, 3, 4, 5 donuts, you know, with the kids. And they said, you buy a dozen, it's cheaper. So it just doesn't sound right coming out of my mouth. I'll pay more, give me less. That doesn't seem to make sense. So the environment war, they want, you know, I didn't need any donuts. But we'll go from 5 to 12. Well, you sure, you know, it's cheaper. Go ahead, give it to me. Cracker Barrel. Look how they market. Look how they market comfort food. Comfort food. Well, I thought the Lord wanted to be our comforter. I got a bad day. Doesn't He want me to go to Him? Well, they're telling me go to Cracker Barrel, and they're going to get comfort for me. They're going to even make me happy. You know, God's going to give me joy. Let's see. IHOP, come hungry, leave happy. I eat these pancakes, I'm going to be happy. That's what they're telling me on their commercials. Come hungry, leave happy. So the environment wars against us. It's tough to be here. It's tough. Anybody think it's easy to be here? It's tough. This isn't heaven. This is a tough place to be. Tough place to be. Things at war against our good health. The flesh. Sugar is a drug. The more we eat, the more our body craves and becomes dependent on it. We can actually change the chemical makeup of our bodies. We can condition our bodies to crave the dopamine release that we get, that euphoric high from eating sugars and snacks and things like that. It's got a short-term benefit. Boy, it makes you feel good for about 15 or 30 minutes. And after that, you crash. You crash. And then it's actually depressing. So you'll actually feel depressed. Your system will slow down, and you'll feel a lot more sedentary, and you may even want to nap. What are the benefits of exercise as opposed to a sedentary lifestyle? Well, the data is overwhelming. We know that there are tremendous benefits from people moving and exercising. God designed us to move. God designed us to move. He designed our bodies. If we've got a lion getting ready to devour us, adrenaline goes through our body, we can run quicker. We can run quicker. But you know what? When we're sitting at a desk and we're working on our computer and we're getting nasty phone calls and we're dealing with coworkers and all these things and we're upset and we got adrenaline going through our system, if we don't burn that off through some exercise and some movement, that can manifest itself into disease states. Mm-hmm. Neck pain, spasms. But if we go and burn that off through exercise, we're getting rid of that. We're getting rid of that. We're using that the way God intended for us to use it. Burn it off. When we exercise also, we actually get the positive benefits of that good feeling that God wanted us to have. So we get that dopamine and we don't feel as sluggish, but we do have that natural, more upbeat attitude. So it's going to be a little bit easier for us to smile. Probably so, because we're feeling better. We're feeling better. Next slide. So are we self-sufficient or are we God-dependent? The enemy wants us to be convinced that, you're saved. It's okay. You're saved. You got the insurance, the fire insurance. You're not going to hell. You're all right. You can go ahead and do a few things now. Life's not that bad. You got a little money and you got a job and your family's doing okay. He wants to constantly get us back to where we think we're in charge, where we think we're doing it on our own, where we think that somehow we don't need Him. But He's the vine, and we bear fruit by abiding in His love. People eat for a variety of reasons. There was actually a university study where they had two groups, one that continually, battled their weight in a control group that never really had much weight problem. And they went to the one group that constantly on diets and this and that, and you're trying to lose weight and gain weight, all these different things. And they said, they asked them the question, why do you eat? Well, I eat because I have a good day. And after work, you know, I'm working hard and I want to reward myself. I give myself, you know, some food or something that I really like, chocolate, whatever. I have a bad day. I got to have something to help me out, and, you know, and make me feel better. You know, I got to have something to help me cope. I get in a fight with my spouse. I go get something to eat. It makes me feel better. I go to the people that are telling me, come hungry, leave happy. So I'm going to go eat those pancakes because I didn't feel good before. Now they're going to make me happy. When I'm stressed, you know, I got money problems, can't pay the bills. Mom, I'm going to go eat. So there's all these reasons why they said they went to go eat. Then they went to the other group that, you know, never really had much of a challenge with their weight. And they said, okay, why do you eat? What do you mean, why do we eat? No, we don't understand the question. Well, because we're hungry. Why else would we eat? So there's two different mindsets. There's two different mindsets. And sometimes we grew up with that. Patterns of other people that were around or parents or whatever, that there's a lot of reasons why they did things. Maybe they ate when times were bad, and that was just something that we did. So we get that conditioning from our environment or our friends. Again, blood sugar. Sugar is a large molecule. Our body wants to get rid of this. We drink lots of water to dilute this large molecule. Controlling blood sugar levels play an important part in maintaining a healthy body. If we look at what God has out there naturally for us to eat, vegetables, fruits, lean meats, strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, those kind of things, they do not have the same effect on our blood sugar. So our body does not soak up water like a sponge trying to get that large sugar molecule out. Many of you probably here on the fast have probably noticed that if you stepped on the scale, you probably lost 5 to 7 pounds pretty quick, like in a couple days. It's like, whoa, what was that? That's not real body fat that you're losing. That's water. Your body stores an extra 5 to 7 pounds when you were eating high glycemic carbohydrates and sugar. Think about that. 5 to 7 pounds of excess fluid. That's about a gallon, a jug of water that you're carrying. Blood sugar. Your pancreas acts as your hormonal carburetor, making sure your blood sugar levels are just right. Example, if you eat several pieces of pizza and then ice cream and cake, your blood sugar levels will spike up. Your pancreas then shoots out insulin to lower your blood sugar levels or will pass out. God's program with the vegetables and fruits and those kind of things, we don't have as much insulin floating around in our system. So our body's not working as hard. It operates totally different when we're doing things God's way. Sugar-rich diets cause the body to retain water and increase inflammation, which in turn may cause or increase pain in the muscles and joints. Anybody ever experienced that?
Yeah.
Your rings don't fit when you have a Chinese meal with a bunch of MSG. You're all bloated from the salt and the stuff. You know, we get that inflammation. And if we got arthritis, it's just going to make the pain even worse. We got back aches, neck aches, Our body's going to function differently. We may not have the regularity that we once had eating those kind of things. So we just don't feel as good. Go again. All foods can be broken down into the following categories: protein, carbohydrates, and fats. I'm really not trying to talk to you all this morning about any diet, because what I've learned is that diets never work. Diets never work. This is a lifestyle thing. It's a lifestyle thing. And as Christians, I think we need to understand and acknowledge our dependence upon God to abide in the vine, to bear fruit pleasing to Him. If everything's going great for you, then why do we need God? If things maybe aren't going so good, well then maybe we need to give Him a try. Protein. Protein actually helps nourish our musculoskeletal system. We need protein to survive. Carbohydrates, they give us, they're the body's first choice for energy. Okay, so we need carbohydrates. Most people think that, okay, carbohydrates, well, that's just pastas and potatoes and french fries and, you know, those kind of things. But no, carbohydrates are vegetables and fruits also. Vegetables and fruits, sweet potatoes, bananas, those kind of things. And then fats. Fats. People say, oh no, I can't eat fats. Well, your body needs fat to function. Your brain needs fat for you to think. You need fat to help lose fat, actually. It's a lubricant to your system. And so basically there's some general guidelines. You know, obviously this will vary depending on what kind of job you do. If, if you're in a sedentary job and you're at a desk, well then certainly your eating habits will be different than someone who's pushing a lawnmower, you know, 8 hours a day out in the heat and the sun and exercising vigorously. But generally speaking, we need about 40% carbs, 30% protein, and 30% fat. Those are very general guidelines. Here's some examples of proteins. God's plan: the fish, chicken, lean meats, soybeans, egg whites, those kind of things. Some on the avoid list would be sausages. Did God make sausages?
No.
Pepperonis, preserved meats. Next one. Carbohydrates, low glycemic carbohydrates: apples, blueberries, lettuce, spinach, oranges, peaches, okra, bananas, strawberries, tomatoes, green beans, sweet potatoes. Some of you guys have maybe heard of Jack LaLanne, the fitness guru. I actually got to, he was a keynote speaker at 95 back in October at a fitness convention in Chicago that I went to. And he's quite a character. He said at 95, he said, yeah, I can't die, it would ruin my image. And he juices, and he eats vegetables and fruits, and he's got a book out. It's actually a pretty well-done book. It's not complicated. But he breaks down the different things: blueberries, oranges, peaches, okra, and he'll give you all the values, you know, and vitamins and minerals and all the benefits from these different things, you know. And you can just thumb through those things and say, boy, you know, God has his hand in this thing. he knew there's a reason why I needed blueberries, antioxidants, and those kind of things, and why I need bananas, and with the potassium and things like that, and tomatoes and spinach with, you know, the benefits of eating spinach. It's good stuff. That's what's naturally occurring out there. What does the world want us to eat? What does the environment want us to do? They want us to compulsively eat their chips and snacks. Get us addicted to their stuff. They want us to finish the whole bag. The whole bag. Sit down, you can't eat just one. They're telling us that. Can't eat just one. Let's look at the avoid. Yeah. French fries, white breads, donuts, pasta, tortilla chips, large quantities of sweet juices. And juice is good, but it's got to be in moderation. How many oranges does it actually take to make a glass of orange juice like this? About five or seven. Five or seven oranges at one time. That's just too much. Yeah, we can do half an orange and eat the whole thing. That way we get the fiber that goes with it, with the peel and, you know, the skin. Fats. Nuts, olives, avocados. These are things God has out there for us. Natural things out there that are good for us. They're out there. Helps moisturize our skin and many positive benefits. Digesting our food, feeding our brain. You know, we need to have some fat in our diet. Problem is, most Americans' diets have way too much fat because everything's fried. It's all fried. It's all fried. And there's tons of fat in that. A lot of people are calling for the government to step in and have a government mandate of how we should eat. You know, those kind of, the government's going to take care of us. The government's going to provide for us. The government should regulate the food industry. As believers, why don't we just look and see, what does God have out there for me? What did He make for me to eat? He wants what's better for us. Or do we want Frito-Lay and the government getting together to decide how many of their chips and snacks they'll want us to compulsively eat together? And maybe if we pay more taxes, you guys will let us go on some things. Well, God's not going to be bought off. He's not going to be bought off by the government. He wants what's best for us, and it's out there. Naturally, it's what He made for us to eat. Next slide. Large amounts of cheese, mayonnaise, salad dressings, ice cream. That's not what we want. Let's do the other one too. We should eat healthful food in respectful portions out of thankfulness to God. Who gives us our food? God does. Does He want me to walk out of McDonald's after a biggie meal with my stomach distended, hurting? You know, and say, oh, I've eaten way too much. And now I'm going to go home and take a nap. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Large portions make us sluggish and sleepy, less productive. The Bible even talks about laziness going right there with companion of people that eat way more than we should. And then we get lazy. I've got a friend of mine that, great brother, he's close to 400 pounds now. And sometimes when we sit together, he has trouble even staying awake if he sits down for more than 20, 30 minutes without moving. He's had problems with his job, keeping a job. People don't want to hire him. They perceive that he's going to be lazy. And he's a loving brother. So there are consequences. The enemy would love for him to be unemployed, have his wife yelling at him, how are we going to pay the bills? And I've watched him actually just over the years, he gains. Times get tough. He's a Taco Bell. I love him. I care for him. I can't change him. So there are consequences. And once again, the enemy wants to rob us of bearing fruit. The Lord wants us to be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The enemy does not want that. If we have those things and we're bearing the fruit, how sweet is our fellowship with the Lord? How sweet is our fellowship with the Lord? We're praising and we're thanking and we're way more joyful and we're lifting up His praises. When we're wounded, like that wounded animal, we're spitting and snaring and angry at God, perhaps, blaming things on Him. How much food do I need to eat each day? These are some very general guidelines based on the average sedentary American lifestyle. A man can take his body weight and multiply times 11. That's about how many calories you need in a day to maintain your mass as you exist. Not to gain a pound, not to lose a pound. It's very general. Obviously, if you're pushing a lawnmower every day and you're moving and those things, well, you're going to need a lot more calories than that. Women, take your body mass as you exist, your body weight, and multiply times 10. People are exercising a lot more and you go into a club or walk in your neighborhood or working on a farm or something like that, you're obviously burning more calories. But that gives us an indication that there is a point where, okay, that's all I need. That's all I need. Because God designed our bodies to be very, very efficient and very, very effective. We walk very efficiently. In health clubs, we actually try to get equipment and to do activities that our body does inefficiently so we burn more calories. But God designed us to walk and run pretty efficiently. But there is a point where if we don't burn something off, we store it. We store it. And then we carry it around. And there's consequences to that. Every 3,500 calories of energy is 1 pound. We can do the math. If I overeat 35,000 calories, I will add 10 pounds to my body weight. Somebody says, oh man, 35,000. Man, that's a ton of calories. Well, actually, most Thanksgiving meals are about 7,000 calories. By the time you add the pie and all the other stuff and you get seconds, it's 7,000 calories. So how easy is it to overeat by 35,000 calories? Well, pretty easy. Pretty easy. God designed our bodies to move. A sedentary lifestyle and poor nutrition can bring on disease states. When we exercise and we move, every time we exercise with weights, something heavy, our muscle tissue actually breaks down. We're breaking down our muscle tissue if we do some bicep curls or bench press, whatever. our muscles repair themselves and come back stronger. And we also burn calories for 12 to 14 hours while the body is repairing itself. And it comes back stronger. So the more leaner you are and the more muscle mass you have, the more calories you burn, even while you're sleeping at night. You're sleeping in your bed, your metabolism's higher because you've got more lean body muscle mass, and so you're burning more calories. Somebody who's more sedentary and they don't have the lean body muscle mass, their metabolism's operating a lot slower. It's also important to eat about 5 small meals a day, 5 or 6. If we just eat, some people say, well, I don't eat breakfast. And then I just eat, you know, a little small lunch and I eat a big dinner. We don't want our bodies to behave like camels and think that we're starving, so we store up a bunch of food in the pouch. If we eat the small meals, we get our motors running quicker. Our bodies know that they're going to be fed, that we're not going into starvation mode, so our metabolism's higher. So it's important to eat breakfast. Breakfast is a great thing. 5 or 6 little small meals a day. We talked a little bit about the importance of walking or running, getting some cardiovascular training. It's good for your heart. It's good to burn off that adrenaline. It's good to burn off some of that stress, maybe from a work or some kind of environment. Let's go back. Let's talk a little bit about the consequences of a sedentary lifestyle and the disease states. Sedentary lifestyle and poor nutrition can bring on disease states to include diabetes, hypertension, which is high blood pressure, poor sleep patterns, heart disease, loss of energy, depression, joint pains, muscle fatigue, glaucoma, your eyes, respiratory problems, liver damage, and stroke. Right where the enemy wants us. Who's bearing fruit then? And we've all got something. We all still need healing in areas. We all still need the power of God. We all still need the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. We all still need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We're dependent upon them. We need to abide in the love of God so that we can bear fruit. And are we helpless like unbelievers? Without any power, without any hope? No. Who's got the power? Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that's inside us that guides us into truth and gives us power to live victorious lives. The question is, do we want to be healed? Do we think we got a problem? Do we need God? Things are going pretty good for me, Pastor Morris. I'm doing all right. I got it. If things are working out really well for you right now, then maybe you don't need a change in that area. If not, let's read the next slide. Mark 10:46-52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Who does Jesus heal? Those who have a desire to be healed. Those who ask. Does he love us? Of course he does. Does he want good things for us? Of course he does. He already knew what this guy wanted. But he asked him, "Hey, what is it you want me to do for you?" And so at the conclusion of this message, is there anything you guys want Jesus to do for you? What do we have to do? Ask him and believe in faith, because he is a God that wants to heal us. This book is full of healing. And why does he want to do that? He loves us and wants to have relationship with us so that we can bear fruit, so that we can have fellowship with him and enjoy his company and not be the wounded animal on the road who growls anytime someone gets next to him. He wants us to bear fruit. That's what I want from my kids. I love my kids. And we just talked about one little thing, you know, today with exercise and things. But we all got something. And so the message is still the same. What is hindering us from bearing fruit? And what do we need to ask Jesus to do for us? Thank you guys very much.
That is awesome, awesome. Thank you. Now I'm wondering. Thank you for coming and sharing. I know that was out of his heart. I've talked to Bob many times about this subject over the years. Be encouraged. I am encouraged. Someone very wise said if we'll change the things that we believe, we'll change the way that we think. If we change the way that we think, we'll change the way that we act. And I think what Bob has done for us is put those three things together. Change the way that we believe so that we understand God's plan for our lives and his love and what he wants to do. Gets us thinking. He approached the thinking thing that the right food and the right exercise and the things that we need to do. So armed with those two things, the spiritual and the physical aspect, then the decision becomes ours. How do we act? Okay. And I exhort you in the name of the Lord to take the heed into your spirit and your body and your mind. And all that you are, the things that you've heard here today. And then make up your mind to do this, not in your flesh. Your flesh is untrustworthy, but in your spirit, all right? Bob's a very congenial guy. If you got some questions you want to ask him, he'll be glad to answer your questions. We have talked about several things that we might do in the future to help not only you, but some other people who are struggling in these health areas. People get better when they're healthier. When they eat better, exercise, you get healthier. You actually do. People who have had diseases lose those diseases. They don't no longer bound up to those kinds of things. So if you, like Bob says, if it's working for you, just keep it. And if it's not, then let's do something about it. Amen? Miss Bobby, were you raising your hand for a question? Or are you just waving at me? No, I thought you wanted to. Yes, Miss Gail.
I have a question for Bob.
Okay.
I'm members of the club, and I understand that in order to...
we might come up with some plans that might help all of us to do better, okay? But individually, I'd encourage you to do something, all right? What good does it do to get all this information and do nothing with it? It's like a guy who gets a degree in medicine, doesn't use it. You know, you go to school all your life and you never do anything with it, you know? So let's all stand together. And again, thank you, Bob, for coming. You've been a real blessing to us. And if you want to talk to Bob privately, he'll be here for a few minutes. And while we're doing this, you know, I'd love to do things publicly because things work out much better when I put my foot in my mouth or make a decision publicly. But I want us to change the things that we do on Sunday morning. We always have our good fellowship, and we have cookies and all the cake and all that wonderful stuff. It's going to cost us more, but let's change that and start having some healthy things here on Sunday morning, all right? We'll have when we have fruit, we juice, I want to get 100% fruit juice, no sugar added, okay? I want to have, you know, a vegetable plate if that's what we need, or, you know, just good, healthy fruit. So we'll still have our fellowship together, but we'll have some healthy food. I think we can set the good example here, okay, in the confines. What's that?
Chocolate's healthy.
You and I are going to have to...